So it was the second conference or first conference we saw meditated upon the last end of men. So as for us to use all our energy, the commandment of charity, to pursue the love of God with all our might. This is what we have to be doing every day. Striving to love God with all our heart, our mind, our strength, our time, our resources, our abilities. And we must know there is an obligation. It's not only for priests, not only for religious. For everybody must strive after perfection, after heaven. For example, will be a sin to say, "Oh, I just will make it to purgatory. That should be okay. I am too imperfect. I'm not able to be perfect." It will be sinful to say that. Sinful. We must aim to God, means to heaven. So we have to use all our resources, our strength to fight back, fight sin back. Okay. So today we want to analyze precisely, following St. Ignatius and conferences and meditations about sin. But before that, it's very important to speak about perfect contrition. Perfect contrition is an obligation for every Catholic to ask for that. It's a grace. So to ask that grace and to get it, especially at the retreat, especially for today and tomorrow, which will be your confession for tomorrow, you have to ask that grace today with all your might, all today and tomorrow, that grace. And I want you to ask that grace to last for your whole life. Perfect contrition. In fact, this is the reason why Catholics relapse, or Catholics stop fighting, or are discouraged, or compromise the faith, or they don't practice fraternal charity, is because they feel weak in their soul. They feel that they need more grace, and they don't do, or they don't know how to do that disposition necessary for God to keep blessing them and bringing them with all the graces to heaven. Even if they don't have sacraments, or even if they are persecuted, even if they are living alone, even if in their own house, they are the only ones who practice the religion. So in this environment of today, believe me, it's extremely important, and it's the will of God expressly that we get from Him that grace. Perfect contrition. So we will explain to it to you. So to acquire perfect contrition, you need three things. That's precisely what we want to try to do with all our might at the retreat. To acquire perfect contrition, you need three things. First, the resolution to go to confession as soon as you can, with a valid and licit priest, no? Both conditions have to be fulfilled. No? So there is no an emergency to go to confession. So it's just your intention to go to confession as soon as you can. Because many times we don't have the priest available. This is a fact. And the only exception will be when in danger of death, yes, right away you have to get a priest for you and for any other, and a valid priest is enough for dangerous death. But otherwise, the principle is the desire, the intention to go to confession with them, but only with a valid and licit priest, even if you have to wait for months. Yes, this is the will of God. That's the reason why the church, in the precepts of the church, he said to go to confession at least once a year. Because in the mind of the church, 1 year is the limit between negligence and too much waiting for confession. When you can get it in 1 year, yes. Still is the case today. Still, you can get the confession once a year. Yes, still you can do it. And should be enough if you have perfect contrition. That is the key. That is the point. So first, to have the intention to go to confession as you can.
Confession. Intention. Intention. Confession. This is very important.
It has to be a valid and licit priest. No any priest. Let's face it, many priests may be valid, but they don't have the doctrine. Or they don't have they are not worried for the salvation of souls. Or they are not allowed by the church to go to them. And these are big reasons. These are reasons why the church will not allow us to go to a certain priest. In canon law, we find many cases in which we should not go to confession, even if we be in mortal sin with certain priests. So you have to seek the will of God. It's what we call valid. Licit means is according to the will of God. Yes? And valid, especially today, valid means has been ordained with the all right, with intention. Of that priest has to be a valid priest means has to be validly ordained with the intention of the church and the rites, Catholic rites, divine rites, and by a valid bishop with the right matter. So it's more difficult than ever to find a priest which is valid and licit is more difficult than ever in these moments. And when people ask me, is it licit to go? So SSPX priest, the answer is no. It's not licit anymore. For two reasons. The first reason is because they are compromising in faith in great matter. In a constant manner, they compromise the faith by silence, by omission, or by commission. So, canon law says when a priest by omission or commission compromises the faith in great matter, that priest must be called as being suspicious of heresy, because he's not professing the faith or he's kept silent or is compromised. Yes. So the church says that when you have a priest who is suspect of heresy, you don't go to their masses, only in danger of death. This is kind of long. And the second reason is because SSPX already is in the normal jurisdiction of the church, which is being used today to destroy the church by false obedience. So to accept the normal jurisdiction means that you are going to work with those who are destroying the church. Therefore, we are not in crisis. Therefore, we are not in a state of necessity. Therefore, it's not serious the sin of compromising the faith. What they are telling us, basically, when they accepted the so-called gift of normal jurisdiction from Rome. No, they should have rejected that gift because they had not converted. We are in a state of necessity. So we are in the trenches. We cannot collaborate with them because they are destroying the church. Archbishop Lefebvre said, they are destroying the church. We are building the church. It means that we cannot work together because we put a block in the building of the church and they throw away the block. The bricks. We are building the bricks, and the modernist bishops are throwing out the bricks. We cannot work together. It's a fact. So is it was a sign that this SPX already compromised faith in a great manner, in public, in a constant manner, by accepting this ordinary jurisdiction from the bishops? No. Now we are in a state of necessity. If you are not in a state of necessity, means that there is no crisis, and therefore it's not serious what is going on with the Novus Ordo. For those reasons, we don't go to this SPX priest. Sorry, but it's not my opinion. It's canon law. Even Pius VI, because the French Revolution, many priests to keep giving sacraments, that was the reason. They wanted to keep giving sacraments to their faithfuls. They signed up an oath with the revolution, of keeping silence about the revolution, so that they will be continuing giving sacraments to the people. So they will keep preaching sound doctrine, great mass, Tridentine mass, traditional sacraments, just the omission of keeping silence. So Pius VI wrote the motu proprio saying, any Catholic in the world is forbidden to go to their masses, confessions, benediction, vespers, even to adore the blessed sacrament. He said that, except in danger of death. It is the spirit of the church. When someone is compromising the faith in a great matter, you don't go to their masses, not even confessions. It's not myself, I tell you, it's the spirit of the church. Especially because we said in the last conference, someone who is playing with sin in order to get benefits, that mentality brings us to hell eventually. Because you become lukewarm and you spit upon the face of Christ to get 30 coins of silver, you go to hell because you are blocking grace, and if you don't convert, if you don't change that attitude, you go to hell. Eventually, yes. So you end up in hell, even if you are committing a venial sin, a deliberate, grave, venial sin, you end up in hell, eventually. Because that attitude blocks grace. It's obvious. It should be obvious. So it's not enough to have trained in mass. Has to be, the priest has to have the faith, preaching the faith. Otherwise he will be blocking grace. It's why our Lord talked to the Pharisees. You are not entering and you are not allowing the others to enter. It's why our Lord said to the people, unless you don't become better than the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So those leaders who are blocking grace like that, by deliberate venial sins, they are blocking grace. So they don't enter, and not even the sheep will enter. So we resist them. So the first condition, therefore, is the intention to go to confession with a valid and lucid priest. No? Second condition for perfect contrition. Remember, perfect contrition means that God is going to give you back sanctifying grace in your soul, even before confession, provided you have these three conditions. So it means that you don't have confession available, you will be in a state of grace if you have perfect contrition. You will be in a state of grace if you are in perfect contrition, even after a mortal sin. So second condition is the most difficult, which is hatred to all your venial and mortal sins of your life. Deliberate, no? So, hatred to all your deliberate, mortal, and venial sins of your life. Besides the exercise we are going to do in this retreat today and tomorrow. To see the gravity of sin as to have enough acknowledgement and therefore contrition with the grace of God in order to hate and do a great confession so as to get. In tomorrow's confession, you have that disposition, you will get not only the forgiveness of your sin, but also you will have all your purgatory deleted, erased. You have perfect contrition, you not only give, not only acquire sanctifying grace, but also you don't have purgatory to pay off. Yes. Some teachers of the church. So the second condition is hatred for all your personal sins. For your deliberate, no? Because of what you have many sins of weakness. Sins of weakness, God forgives them very easily. Still, you have to get rid of those. Okay? You have to fight them, even our defects. But God will keep us graces, flowing graces upon us. Sins as of weakness doesn't block grace. See? If we fall out of weakness, that will not block grace unless we don't want to fight. We don't want to get rid of those sins, no? In a serious manner. Personal sins.
So Christ said deliberate, no? Deliberate sins. Venial or mortal. Okay. And the third condition is a pure motive of the, for love of God. Pure motive. Pure motive, because God is infinitely goodness. He's infinitely holy. Because he died for me on the cross. Because I belong to him and he rescued me on the cross. All that's pure reasons. Reasons of pure love. So reasons of pure love by which I hate my sins, deliberate sins, and I go to confession as soon as I can. If I fulfill those three conditions, I have perfect completion. Means God give me back sanctifying grace, and purgatory is gone. So the punishment due to my sins is paid off. Means that even if I commit mortal sin, I still don't go to confession, I die, I go straight to heaven. That's it. I go straight to heaven. Someone who dies with perfect condition goes straight to heaven. I repeat it again. If you die in perfect condition, you go straight to heaven. But even sacraments will not give you perfect condition if you don't make the effort, if you don't fight. This is why sacraments is not the most important. It's what the SSP has been teaching in many countries. If you have your sacrament, you should feel secure and happy and safe. You should feel safe and support us and be quiet, be silent about our problems. You just have the sacraments and you don't attack us. This is the what they say, except today, in all the world. So it's an example of St. Alfonso himself. St. Alfonso gives the example of a man who 10 minutes before dying, he received the visit of the priest. 10 minutes before dying. So the priest heard his confession, gave him the viaticum, gave him extra unction, and gave him the papal blessing. So he prepared him to die. And the priest left the room in the hospital. So he had only 10 minutes to live. He had sanctifying grace, very possible, because of confession, no? And within the 10 minutes, a nurse come into the room in modestly dressed, and because this man never fight back his bad inclinations, he has an attachment to sin or impurity. So he saw with lust to that nurse, that woman. And St. Alfonso says, that man committed a mortal sin and went to hell. Even if he has sacraments, 10 minutes before dying, he went to hell. It's a proof that sacraments is not the most important. No. It's your love, your fidelity to God, and hatred for sin. This is the most important. Basically, faith, hope, and charity is the most important in your life, which comes with humility and comes with fidelity. No? So, having said that, how we enter into the topic of sin, so you have to ask for this grace. And St. Benedict will cry his own sins every day. So it's not necessary to cry physically. This is not essential for the condition, perfect condition, but it's also known as the gift of tears. Because it's spiritually, you cry spiritually your sin. You are sorrow, deeply sorry for your sins. So St. Benedict, and in the Middle Ages, it's known that St. Benedict asked his monks to ask for this grace as the most important grace to be God from God every day. They will ask for perfect completion every day, every moment. This is why they will have severe penances, severe practices of fasting, and pilgrimages to seek for this grace. They will do 40 days pilgrimage in order to wear that grace. That was very clear for our foster fathers. Perfect contrition is the golden key to heaven. Especially today, in this crisis, we don't have priests almost, and it's coming worse. We'll be a lockdown again, easily, any moment. And we must have perfect contrition. It's a grace, remember. It's not given to anyone, but only those who have good dispositions and fighting sin and asking for God's grace, you know, of having contrition. So having said that, we go to San Ignatius meditation about sin. But first, he wants you to see with the sight of your imagination, considering your soul as imprisoned in this corruptible body, in your body. Your soul is like in a prison. To contemplate that you are like in a prison in your body. It's corrupted in the sense that it has bad inclinations, no? And after that, you have to keep asking God for what you want, which is perfect contrition, to do a good confession. So you want to erase your purgatory, even your purgatory after your confession tomorrow. So we can play the first sin. The first sin is the original sin. No, but not first, no. First, the first sin is that of the angels. We first meditate upon that reality. So we have to compare ourselves, our sins, to compare our sins with one sin of the angels by which they were thrown into hell. So the angels had only one opportunity. He who passed the test went to heaven, and that who didn't pass the test went sent to hell for all eternity. And remember that the angels are more perfect, more beautiful than us in the nature, in the natural creation. Even they were created in sanctifying grace, the angels. So also Adam and Eve. So the first creation was with sanctifying grace. So they were more beautiful. They lost it for one sin. It's amazing. So this is the first thought that should cause us to fear and to tremble. Because if God didn't spare the angel, the bad angels, he will not spare us, you know, who have been abusing God's grace. So we had to start making the resolutions to hate sin, deliberate sin. Also remember the nature of grace. Grace comes from Latin, which is gratis, given. So grace comes from gratis, means in Spanish also means freely given. And the saint said that because it's freely given, God might not give it again. We don't deserve it. We might not have it again, that grace, if we lost it. It's one of the Novus Ordo heresies. The Novus Ordo clergy believe that we are born with our original sin, just pleasing to God. That we are born good, therefore we deserve heaven. This is one of the heresies in the Novus Ordo. Therefore God is obliged to give us what we need to go to heaven. It's what they believe, Novus Ordo people, clergy, priests. Therefore, even if I am more or less okay,
I just trust in the divine mercy of God and I will be saved because He's obliged to give me the grace. This is why they complain when it's an earthquake and many people die. Ah, God is not good in that moment. So God is not fulfilling His goodness. Because an earthquake, many people die cruelly. It's another mentality, it's another religion. It's twisted. It's twisted the way they see God. It's a reality. So the reality is that grace is a freely given divine thing that if we lose it, God may give it again. This is the scary thought which should make us to fight and to have perfect contrition. Lord, I did it again. Sorry, Lord, give me the grace to cry my sins and to be kneeling hours, the whole night even and fasting until God give us the grace. Especially today that we don't have priests. Almost, no? Lord, I commit a sin. Sorry. I told my brother that he was a dog. Oh, no, it's a mortal sin problem. So, Lord, I will not stand up from my knees until you give me the grace. I will not stop fasting until you give me the grace. That's it. Should be like that. Should be like that. God is expecting that from us, believe me. So the second sin is the original sin. That Adam and Eve. So we have to analyze the original sin. So remember, Adam and Eve were created in grace. So the only thing that God asked them was to not to eat, to obey Him and not to eat from the tree of good and evil. The tree of good and evil is the name of the tree. It was a physical tree and the fruit of that tree was forbidden. And Adam took that commandment, yes, and he told Eve a further commandment. Because Adam told Eve, do not even approach the tree. Because it's what Eve told the serpent. God told us not to eat and not even to approach the tree. But that approaching is come from Adam. Because God told Adam not to eat. But because Adam had the authority, and knowing her wife, women are more curious by nature because they are more different in nature. So to prevent the damage, go further from the occasional sin. No? Further. It's what a father will do with the children. You will not be satisfied to tell your children, do not commit impure things. He will go beyond. He will say, don't watch TV, don't watch internet, don't watch YouTube. And don't watch beautiful women. Of course, any good father will go beyond the commandment to place us further from the occasional sin. Precisely what we have just said about hatred for sin. The hatred for sin should move us to go farther and farther from the occasional sin. Yeah? It's what Adam told Eve. Not even approach, not even closer in the tree. You see? So what happened? The devil attacked through the pride. Through pride. It's always. So pride is the origin of all sins. Pride. So the devil moved Eve to doubt God. And to seek for something else than God. Saying, no, it's not true that you that commandment not to eat from that tree is really not true. What God is saying, because He knows that by eating from that tree you will be like God. It's a lie. But because Eve was hearing something different and something will make her greater than what she was expecting to be. So she was moved to pride, to acquire that temptation, that offering of the devil, to be higher, to have more. Happened to us very often. We are tempted to have more happiness, joyful, human joy, more money, illicit money, to have more pleasures, illicit pleasures, to have more honors, illicit honors. Quite often we receive those temptations. The humble one will say, no, I don't want nothing, I only want God. I only desire God. Whatever God wants to give me, I will have it. I will tell you a story, a real story. In Colombia, it's a lady. She will buy a lottery ticket every week. Of course, she was worldly. She was worldly. No? She wanted quick money. No? I think all the worldly people want quick money. It's what people doesn't like to work nowadays. No, I mean, quick money, with drugs, prostitution. No, when so she was looking buying the lottery every week. So one day she saw a number. She liked a number, so she lined up to buy that lottery number. And she was lining up when the guardian angel told her she heard the voice of the guardian angel saying, lady, the number that you are going to buy is the winner. It will be the winner number. But I warn you, if you buy that ticket, that lottery ticket, you are going to lose your soul forever in hell. So I want you to quit the line and not to buy that ticket, that number. She said that was the 5 seconds more important in her life. Because if she will buy it, she will be the most rich in the city. Richer in the city. But she said, no, I prefer God than riches. So she quit the line and she saw the newspaper and followed, yes, indeed, that number won the lottery. Millions and millions of dollars. No? So this is precisely the test that we have nowadays. Believe me, many people today have a very little faith and hope. They sell out many times the faith for whatever benefit. We saw it during the COVID. We saw it very well in COVID times. People who want just to travel, they will put the shot on the shoulder. People who want just to see their grandfather, they will put the shot. People who want just to go to the beach, vacations, took the shot. Knowing that the shot was immoral, many of them. No? Even the face mask outside the hospitals is nonsense. Because God created us to share virus and substances and smells and between us. Is it the way our bodies strengthen it is by sharing the viruses or whatever we have among us. But it's nonsense. It's even whatever invisible threat, according to our holy faith, has to be overcome by faith, hope, and charity. By hope. Is this an invisible threat? Lord, help me, protect me. But faith mask, without reasonable being protected by that, will be sinful. It's not possible. But people just put the faith mask just not to be in problems and trouble. No? Even the children, 3 years old with faith mask is impossible. So you could see that many people don't care about the truth, about reason even, just their own benefits, their feelings. It's really horrible. Eh? During the COVID, we saw huge amount of people just giving up, not only the faith, but even the reason, just to have something. So you can see that people is not ready for, they don't seek after truth, they are not interested. They only focus on themselves. So, and the third scene that St. Ignatius wants us to contemplate is anyone who for one mortal sin is gone to hell. The gravity and malice of the sin justly condemned forever to hell. St. Alphonsus gives an example. St. San Alfonso says in his books that there was a child six years old. A child 6 years old who committed a mortal sin and died and went to hell for the whole eternity. He said, was the first and the last. He didn't receive any other chance, that boy. He went to hell. He said, he's now in hell for the whole eternity for that mortal sin. So that's a good example to put ourselves in that situation. If I dare again to commit a mortal sin, we may have no another chance. No. Maybe the last. And throw into hell for the whole eternity. So we go to the meditation, and you are going to imagine our Lord Jesus Christ present and placed on the cross, telling you, this is the price I have paid for you. Are you going to kill me again? Are you going to spit upon me again? Are you going to nail me on the cross again? Have pity on me. I want to, like the cross, to embrace you and to give you heaven, my life, my joy, my happiness forever. My precious blood has a great value, infinite value. Therefore, I want to shed upon you. So, you are in retreat, so don't waste my most precious blood. You have mass every day now. So you will answer, Lord, yes, I accept your invitation. Give me the grace of perfect contrition. Give me the grace to hate sin and to prefer all things, even death, than sinning again. So you will ask for that grace, and you start, therefore, you... and you will ask yourself, what are you going to do for Christ now? See what you have done, see what you could do without His grace, and now what you are going to do for Christ. This is one of the thinking that you ought to meditate during this meditation, one of these exercises. So we end up here.